As we look at Mark chapter 16 here this morning, I'm reminded that some things are better than expected. When my girls were 9 and 7, we made this trip to Disney World and got to ride all those rides and do all the things that you do at Disney World. And on one of those days, we went and got in line for the Rock and Roll roller coaster. My daughters had never been on a roller coaster quite like that. I didn't know what to expect. And so we get on this roller coaster, and we're in line, and we sit down. We take off. It's completely dark. And we go from 0 to 55 miles an hour in 3 seconds. We hit a loop, and I have no idea how Abby's reacting to this. I have my hand on her leg, and I'm patting her, going, "It's going to be okay, Abby, it's okay." No idea how she's responding. We get to the end of this ride, and I look over at her, and she's just got this crazy expression on her face. And I said, "Abby, are you okay?" And she looks and she says, "That was awesome." And as awesome as that was, it was no comparison to what happened that first Easter morning when those ladies go to the tomb. They go to prepare the body of Jesus to what they find, the resurrection. Why is the resurrection so important? Because if the resurrection is true, there is a number of other things that are true. That means that there's a God. If the resurrection is true, there's a God, and that means that Jesus is that God. If the resurrection is true, that means that the Bible is true. And if the Bible is true, that means that heaven and hell are real places. And what we do with Jesus makes the difference between whether we go to one or the other. Christianity, it stands and it falls on the historical bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If there is no resurrection, then there's no point in anything here that we're doing. Paul says very plainly in 1 Corinthians, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." If there is no resurrection, then we're wasting our time. We are just here today, maybe singing some good songs, maybe having a good time, some good fellowship, but it really doesn't mean anything. But on this Easter morning, we celebrate what the gospel is all about. We've spent several weeks going through the gospel, through the book of Mark, and looking at the importance of the gospel, and this is what it's about. It's about the resurrection of Jesus. And so let's read about this account and how it impacted the lives of these women in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw the stone had already been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And so we have in this passage, we see these three women. We have Mary Magdalene, and we have Mary, the mother of James, and we have Salome, and we know from Matthew that this is the mother of Zebedee's sons, and so this is the mother of James and John. And they go to the tomb here this morning. They're looking for Jesus. They're not anticipating finding a risen Savior. They are headed to this grave, this tomb, to take care of a dead body. That was all they were looking for. They loved Jesus. And they went to prepare his body and were bringing spices. And even in his death, they had a desire to see him again. These women, they were in pain. They had followed Jesus. They had spent time with him. They had seen his miracles. They had seen him heal the sick. And he had changed their lives. And now they're Jesus. The one that they had followed, the one that they had committed to, he is dead. And so they go in their pain to prepare the body. Even in his death, they had a desire to see him again. People seek Jesus for all kinds of reasons. When I was a student minister, I used to be asked the question, does it ever bother you when people come to your ministries for the wrong motives? when they come in and their motives aren't right, but they show up, and usually the wrong motives were this. It was usually some girl who was interested in some boy, or some boy who was interested in some girl, and so they would come to church or college ministry or something so they can make that connection, and people ask, that bother you? And sometimes in ministry here as a pastor, I've had people come to church and not really for the right motives, and people say, does it bother you if they come for the wrong motives? And my answer is always no. Even in the wrong motives, God can reach into the hearts of people. I've seen people come to seeking Jesus for wrong motives and seeing God changing their hearts as they look in the right place. These ladies were coming to take care of a dead body. But they came to the right place to look where they thought that Jesus was. And that may be here true today as we come looking on the wrong motives, but finding the right things. And verse 47 to chapter 15, it says, Mary Magdalene, she'd watched where they put the body, where they'd placed Jesus. And so they went to the place where they thought they could find Jesus. Very early, the first day of the week, the sun had risen, and they went to the tomb. This would be a Sunday morning. In John, we see that they got up before daylight while it was still dark. And they go to the place where they think that they can find Jesus. They went looking in that place, and people all the time go to places where maybe they can find an answer, to find something. These women, they needed some closure. They needed something, so they go to this tomb. And sometimes you do the same thing. People come to church looking for some answer. They go to a friend who's a believer and say, I need some answer. They go to the Bible looking, seeking something. These women were seeking something in worship today. There are God may have something for us as we are here in worship today. Maybe there are some here that you might not be here to worship the resurrected Jesus. As you're here today, maybe our motives are different. We're in the wrong place, in the right place, maybe, or our motives are wrong. Maybe we're here because somebody made us come. Somebody said, okay, it's Sunday morning, you have to come to church. And maybe some of your kids are not and say, yeah, I have to come to church. Maybe you're here today because it's Easter, and this is what you do on Easter. You come to church, and so you're here today. Maybe your motives aren't exactly right, but we are glad that you're here because this is a place where you can be introduced to Jesus. And I invite you, while you're here today, no matter where you are in your faith journey, and we talked about this faith journey as we're looking through the book of Mark, no matter where you are in this faith journey, I invite you to open your hearts to what Jesus may have for you. See, so often when people truly seek Jesus, they ultimately find much more than they could have possibly expected. And that was the case here in this morning with these women. They were concerned with moving a stone. They were going to come to this grave, and their biggest concern in getting there was how they were going to move the big stone out of the way so they could go and take care of their body. They never expected a risen Savior. They never expected an empty tomb. They never expected any of this. This stone, when they get there, it's moved. And as the children said in the children's message, it wasn't moved so Jesus could get out. It wasn't like Jesus got up and pushed the stone away so he'd have some easy exit plan. Right? It wasn't that way. It was moved so that the women could get in and see that the grave was empty. As they go there, they understood death. The women understood death, but they had no expectation of someone conquering death. Now, it might be easy for us to look back and wonder, said, how could they have not have known? How could they be filled with so much unbelief? I mean, we've read through Mark, right? We've read through some of this. They had walked with Jesus. They had heard Jesus speak about the events on the cross. They had heard Jesus promise that he was going to rise again. But yet they show up here still discouraged and doubtful. And before we get too critical looking at these ladies, we should consider our own lives. How many times have we seen God do some amazing things in our life, and we have heard the teaching, and we've seen God be faithful, and then we find ourselves being faithless? How many times when we get burdened with the things of the world and the things of life, and we get frustrated, we wonder if God is really going to do what God says? Is he really going to fall through in the promises that he makes? And sometimes we have that discouragement. And these ladies, they had heard the promises of Jesus, but yet they still come to this place of discouragement. And it's here. It's here that we place our confidence in a risen Lord. As they get to that tomb and they see the stone rolled away, they hear a message of victory. They have gone there with doubt and despair. and it was soon turned to victory. As they come to the tomb, the very thing that they worried about is removed. It's not, the stone is not there anymore. We discover this message, a few things we hear, this message from this angel that's sitting there. He spoke words of comfort. He says to them as they get there, do not be amazed. They were unsure of what was going to be there, and they get these words of comfort to them. They came fearful and afraid, but they get these words from the angel. I am glad, thankful for the comfort of Jesus. I'm glad that Christ brings comfort to our life, that he has the power to comfort the brokenhearted. He has the power to overcome our fear. Life may not go as it had planned. These women, they followed Jesus. They had an idea where this would go, and it hadn't gone according to what they thought was going to happen. It hadn't gone according to plan. And I'm so thankful that even though life doesn't go according to plan, that we can take courage that there's hope in Jesus. Jesus is there to comfort our troubled heart if we trust in him. And this angel, he spoke words of confidence. He says, you have been looking for Jesus, a Nazarene who has been crucified. See, the angel knew exactly why they were there. They had come to anoint this body. They had come to see Jesus. And he wanted them to know that your search is not in vain. You came here and you don't see him here, but your search is not in vain. The Lord, that was all that they believed that he was, but he was so much more. An angel wanted to reassure them that, yes, Jesus had died and you saw that, but he didn't stay dead. The hope had not ended in that tomb. On that Friday night when they watched Jesus be put in the tomb, the hope had not ended. And we live in a day where many do not believe the gospel. We live in a day where many claim that our faith is in vain. They tell us that we're fools, and why would you worship this myth? Why would you do this? And people will tell us all the time how crazy we are. And the world may not understand or believe, but it doesn't change the truth of the resurrection. It doesn't change the truth. People's opinions don't change what is really actually true. And he spoke these words of truth, these words of conquest. The angel says, he is risen. He's not here. Look, this is where they laid him, but he isn't here anymore. These women came to expect him to find a lifeless body, make final preparations, and the angel proclaims to them these words that resounded throughout the ages. Jesus is risen, and that is why we celebrate. We know without a doubt that he is resurrected. See, there are some things that we know about the whole historical Jesus. We know that Jesus walked on the earth. We know that he was a historical figure. Most people, a few crazies might say that he wasn't really a person, but most people will say, yeah, Jesus was a real person, and that there was a Jesus who was crucified on a cross. And we know that Jesus was laid in a tomb. We know that the body is no longer there. What happens after that is where we have some debate. And I'm telling you this morning, without a doubt, I believe in the resurrection of a Savior. Some think that he wasn't dead and he just woke up and walked away. I mean, that makes perfect sense, right? Jesus hung on a cross and beaten and had a spear shoved through his side, and he's put in a tomb, and he wakes up and says, oh, I think I'm done now. And he gets up and pushes the stone out of the way and walks away. Right? People believe that. Some think the disciples somehow stole the body. When you have these soldiers, these guards that are disciplined, and their lives are on the line to guard this, and somehow the disciples snuck around them and stole the body. Very, very unlikely. Really, if you look at the historical narrative, and you try to decide what happens with his body, to me there's only one thing that makes sense and fits the narrative, and that is the resurrection, victorious over the grave. Nothing could hold him there. See, Jesus wasn't the first person to be resurrected, but Jesus was the first person to be resurrected to never die again. And there is hope in the words of conquest. Death no longer has a hold on us. As children of God, death no longer has a hold on us. There will come a day in my life, very, very likely, unless Jesus comes again, that I am going to pass from this earth, and I will be put in the ground, or something will happen. I'll be dead. I will not be here anymore. But my eternity doesn't end on that day. We will be resurrected in eternal life with him. And this is the good news of the gospel, and this is the good news that we share. In verse 7, The angel said, go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter. And it's really significant that we see this and Peter. Remember that Mark is written from Peter's account. And remember where Peter was at this time. Peter had denied Jesus when Jesus was arrested. Peter was a defeated person. Peter was the one that said, I'm going fishing. And everybody says, yeah, let's go fishing too. And fishing doesn't sound too bad. It's kind of nice outside today. But that wasn't the right thing for Peter to do at that time. Peter was discouraged. And this is important to know that as these women deliver this message, and Peter gives his account, that Jesus still had purpose for Peter. That there was still a purpose for him. He says, go tell his disciples and Peter. The disciples going, I mean, told, it's interesting as you see this because the disciples should have also known that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. And Mark, he was told that he would give his life as a ransom for many, that his death would give freedom to many. And he told them in Mark chapter 14, verse 28, he says, look, after I have risen, I'm going to see you in Galilee. Right, so he had already told them this, and then Jesus goes to the cross, and they completely forget all of this stuff. And so they shouldn't have been surprised, but yet they are surprised. But why? Well, here's why they were surprised, because dead people don't raise themselves back to life. Even 2,000 years ago, dead people did not raise themselves back to life. And these three ladies, they are entrusted with the gospel message to go and to tell. These were the first proclaimers of the gospel. These were our first missionaries. These were the first witnesses of the resurrection of the Savior. And this is a very unlikely thing to have women to be in this place. Women at this time, they were thought of as less than men. And they weren't even allowed to be witnesses in a court of law. They were untrustworthy witnesses, but they were the ones entrusted to share the news. If 2,000 years ago I was making up this story, no way in the world would I choose three women to be the first eyewitnesses and the proclaimer, because that would have given people reason to doubt the story. And so why does Mark make sure he makes this point? Because he's telling us exactly what happened. If he was making it up, he would have done something completely, completely different. And so they leave the tomb. And it says they go quickly with fear and great joy to report to the disciples. Fear and joy. Two words that still describe feelings that we have when we share the gospel. Sometimes when we think about the gospel message and sharing it, there's fear. What if somebody doesn't believe us? What if I mess it up and I say it wrong? What if people make fun of us because I do this? What if I'm persecuted? And sometimes there's still fear and sharing that message. And then in great joy. There is joy in seeing someone respond. I still remember the first person that I ever had the opportunity to share the gospel with that responded. I was in college, and I had this girl come up to me, and she says, you know, I have this friend who's not a believer. Can you come and share with him? And so I go to this guy's dorm room, and we sit. I got a couple of friends of mine, and I share the plan of salvation. I share the gospel with this guy. His name was Mike. And I said, Mike, if you ever want to accept Jesus as your Savior, let me know. He says, okay, I want to do that right now. And I said, right now? Because that's not what I expected. I expected something different. He says, yeah, right now. And so Mike prays to receive Christ. And then there are four or five crazy college students walking around the campus of Indiana State University singing praises, praise songs, choruses to God. People would have thought we were crazy, but Mike was so full of joy at the changed life, and that spread joy to all of us as we see the life changed. What a change. Could you imagine the change in the hearts of these women? Can you imagine this change? They came with little hope, and they left the promise of a risen Savior. They had received the news that Jesus is alive this morning. Maybe you have come here today, and you have little hope. Maybe you've come here today and you're struggling. You've come here today and you're looking for answers. And I am telling you there is an answer in the resurrected Savior who can set you free from all of your sins. That God can handle all of your issues. And he's wanting you to come to him. See, much of what we see in our world today doesn't offer us much comfort. We turn the news and we see discouragement and death and destruction. But for those that are us in Christ, we can rejoice in spite of what's happening in the world around us that we serve a risen Savior. A risen Savior. There's nothing that happens in our lives that He's not aware of. There's nothing that happens that He has no control over. He has the ability, the power to conquer death, to conquer the grave. Surely He can take care of anything in our life if we just come and put our trust in Him. So why is this important? As we approach the issue of Jesus' resurrection, there are some options that we have here. We can believe as we share this story today that this is something that is just completely false. That everything that I've talked about and everything that I've read today just isn't true. It's a hoax. Jesus didn't raise from the dead. Maybe his disciples fabricated the story, but it's a complete hoax. If it is, it's the greatest hoax of all time. And if it is, then we sitting here are a bunch of fools to believe this. Maybe on this morning we have the option that it's not a hoax, but it's a work of fiction. That we read this, and in some great works of fiction, there's some good lessons that we can get out of this. And we can read this passage and we can say, man, it is a really neat story and it is very inspiring. And there are some things that I can apply to my life and it'll help me live a better life. But I just treat it as a work of fiction, and it's not a work that can transform life because it's not true. Or we believe that the stuff we talked about here today, as we work through the book of Mark, this is fact. This is the most important event that ever happened in history. And that the words we read here in Mark and the New Testament accurately and historically portray the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And if this is fact, we see that Jesus has kept His promise. He told His disciples this was going to happen, and it did. And we can trust in the promises of God. If this is fact, then we serve a risen, living God. We don't just serve an idea or a hope or a dream. We serve the risen God. We know that if Christ's resurrection, that there is assurance that this isn't the end for us either. That as Christ rose from the dead, we have resurrection as well. We can live eternity with Him. And we know that as He conquers death, that He has the power to deliver us and work in our lives. And He provides us with the ability to share the ministries that He has given us. We can be His witnesses to those around the world of this truth of the gospel. And so this morning, as we come to the conclusion of our Easter service, let me invite you to respond to the message of Easter. What does the resurrection mean for you? As you're here this morning, you have an opinion about the resurrection. What does the resurrection mean for you? What impact does it have on your life? As we're here this morning, there's a good chance that someone here this morning doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. That they've never come to the point where they have given their life to Him, where if not said, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, to believe the events on the cross, repent of that sin, and make Jesus Lord of your life. And if that's you this morning, I invite you to respond to the message of salvation. Maybe you're here this morning, and even though we know the message of the cross is true and real in our life, we still struggle with the weight of the world. And with the things that are going on in our life, and that struggle keeps us from experiencing the joy and the freedom that comes in the cross. And so this morning, trust God in your struggle. He never promises that He will take away our struggles. He promises that He will be there in the midst of our struggles. Come this morning and give those over to the Lord and let Him walk with you through those. And if you're here this morning and you're a believer walking with the Lord, know that we live in a world where there are many without the hope of a resurrection. That as we celebrate this morning, there are many who have no reason to celebrate and they have no hope. And we need to take the message of the cross to them.